This meeting is called to order for City Council. If we can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
President Colon is not available and will not be with us this evening. Vice President Cramsey Smith will be presiding for the meeting. We could do the roll call.
Dr. Renix?
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Present.
Ms. Leon?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present. City Council held an executive session on Tuesday, September 27th, 2023 at 5 p.m. for an update on personnel matters. Approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And second, the minutes are approved. We will now have public comment on any item not being voted on. I have two people signed up. The first is Alex Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch, 738 Center Street. Dear Diary, it's been 81 days since I've been allowed to park legally in my own neighborhood. My journey has taken me to the Parking Authority Customer Service Desk. That was pleasant. The Parking Authority Board of Directors meeting, and now to my fourth City Council meeting. What exciting days. None of this makes sense, and yet here I am, a property owner residing in the city of Bethlehem, forbidden from parking in the neighborhood in which I've lived and owned a home for 25 years. I fear I'm starting to lose my mind. I think to myself, what could these people possibly expect me to do other than keep fighting? After all, I use my vehicle daily when I'm here in town to commute to that far-off land known as Easton. At the end of my travels, I must park somewhere, and yet the City Parking Authority tells me no, I can't. When he's here, the mayor sits there impassionately observing the proceedings each time I speak, seemingly unconcerned with the plight of a citizen of his city. How could this be? I'm left to assume that it's because I am no longer a registered voter in the city, therefore a second-class citizen. Perhaps I'm judging him too harshly. After all, he is but a subject within the realm of the omnipotent Bethlehem Parking Authority, much as I find myself. I suppose he's just as powerless as I am to do anything about their unchecked power and arbitrary application of rules. If only some municipal hero could save us all. Until that day, I resign myself to this frustrating path and will continue seeking justice with low hopes. So, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rush. I just want to do a reminder for those that are watching on YouTube. If you start the meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. I now have Mr. Caratola signed up to give public comment. If you could give your name, address, and keep to the 5-minute time limit, please.
Hi, I'm Marty Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Here to talk about the situation of, I've been trying to reach, actually, in relation to this thing, for the past few weeks, trying to reach Stephanie Agello, but she doesn't call me back because I'm trying to get a meeting with the mayor, because I got some great plans that will help eliminate the situation. with the homeless and upscale our city. I mean, like, I don't get a call back. I don't get a call back from Chief Cott either, you know, or most people that I call, or even Cassie Ilgert, who gave me her card one time from Arts Quest. I was impressed her upon what I said about the banana factory, but she doesn't call me back either. I just get no respect. It's like Rodney Dangerfield here. I get no respect at all. But anyway, the fact remains that one day the mayor will call me back. And that will be after the next election when I'm mayor of the city. Then I'll get callbacks. I'll be talking to myself. But anyway, the thing with the homeless, I mean, like, I was practically homeless. I was a rock and roll musician. We had long hair, tight spandex pants, go from city to city. Hey, after a number of performances, we say to our fans, hey, can we find a place to crash? Basically, they're homeless. You know, but the fact remains that I was in the military and had some damage that I got out of the military because I had a damage with my brain. I couldn't talk right. I stuttered and stammered profusely. I couldn't say more than one sentence at a time. And if you people know me from even a few months ago to today, I'm not looking at no paper. I don't need to. I say what I have to say. I shoot from the hip. No problem. If I forgot something, I'll say it the next time around. It's in the archives of my brain. It's in my heart what I need to talk about. And the thing is with the homeless, a lot of them don't have psychological, they don't have, their brain isn't there. The man upstairs isn't working quite right. I would have been homeless if I didn't have a father that lived in Edison, New Jersey, and a mother who lived here that I had to buy the place back for fair market value, which wasn't really fair market value from the county, because she was in a nursing home and the bill went up to over $200,000. Well, I was smart enough to say to the county, my bags are packed, the roof is leaking. If you don't go ahead and drop that lien and I buy it for fair market value, I'm going to be moving out of here in 3 days and you're going to be the proud owner of the place next door too, because the rain is going to hit next door. However, I got the place, I bought my place back for fair market value. Back to the military. I was in the military, 1968 I was out. I couldn't talk right, I couldn't think right. Took me all that time to get myself together. Now I'm able to shoot from the hip. And now, if you look on my record, there's no record. In any city, I have no convictions of any kind. I'm sure there were a few arrests and things, but I made the district attorneys blush. And I would dare anyone to put a claim on to me, as I have, with a certain place in the area that claimed I did something illegally. And I went to the police 3 times to try to go ahead and get this person to press charges on me, but he's not pressing charges. But back with the homeless, the thing is, they kind of don't think right. They need help to kind of get focused. We don't need to have them walking the streets. We need to help them. And I got a plan that will make it work if the mayor will get back to me. I will sit down and talk about it. I don't have time. I only have a minute left. So I'm just going to ramble on for the next few seconds and say that as I was in the military, you know, I was told by a chaplain I would never get benefits. I didn't want them because I didn't want to take from the veterans. However, I'm a 100% disabled American veteran, and I said to my doctor, there's no reason for me to 100%. I'm not walking with a cane or anything. They said, hey, look, it took too long for you to get there. At the age of 74, eventually things will kick in, so we're going to leave you as it is. But a lot of these homeless people, and there should not be anything in this thing of a homeless veteran in our vocabulary of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that is named after the city that Christ was born into. I'm Artie Curatola, God bless you all, and I hope I get to talk to somebody on my plans to help the homeless. God bless.
Thank you. Is there anyone to the left of the room that would like to give comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Is there anyone in the middle of the room that would like to give public comment on any item not being voted on this evening? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Eaton Avenue. Just a brief remark as after the conflict of interest meeting, which was earlier today. I found myself thinking on Ronald Reagan's remark when he was considering nuclear agreements with Russia, and he said, trust but verify. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the conflict of interest ordinance under consideration, disclosure is nice, but recusal is better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the middle of the room that would like to give public comment on any item not being voted on this evening? Mr. Antalix?
Thank you. Stephen Antalix, Senator Sand Ridge. Over the past number of meetings, I've observed some citizens coming here very frustrated, looking for relief because they've contacted the mayor's office and tried to contact the mayor about problems that they had, and not getting relief, they came here. And many of them who came here were uneasy speaking from this point, which brings up a point that how many other citizens have that same problem of getting communication from the city mayor's office or the mayor who don't come here because of the intimidation of speaking before you? So we don't know. But the point is, a number of people come here, in fact, or two tonight, who spoke about that very problem of communication from the city in which they live. I, tongue-in-cheek, brought it up at a recent council meeting about the fact is that three emails to the mayor's office were not answered. I did a tongue-in-cheek, and I followed up on it to the absurd, and nothing happened. So, I'll read from the mayor's vision for Bethlehem when he was seeking the office of mayorship, stating, I am proud to have proposed and created open and responsive city government. Now there's a contradiction here. It's a very severe contradiction here. And to me, probably at this point, the best way to answer that contradiction is use a little humor. So, a little girl asked her father, Daddy, do all fairy tales begin once upon a time? He replied, no, dear. There's a whole series of fairy tales that begin with, if elected, I promise. So, getting serious to this serious problem. City Council can give some form of relief to those poor citizens who are being ignored by the mayor. If you call City Hall, you get into a service center and they'll say you can't talk to anyone in the city mayor's office, send them an email, which also is frustrating. So I take it upon City Council to respond to the people who put you there, who have a need to resolve a problem they have, and are fearful of coming here to speak about it. So I suggest that you consider a formal reprimand to the mayor's office, asking the mayor to be more responsive to the citizens. And I think that might open lines of communication. because I recall being able to walk into the mayor's office and speak to the mayor. But now it's surrounded by an imaginary moat with like crocodiles. You can't do it without jumping through hoops. So please help the citizens of Bethlehem and remind the mayor of his responsibilities.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the center of the room that would like to give public comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Is there anyone to the right of the room that would like to give public comment on any item not being voted on this evening? Is there anyone in the room that wants to give public comment on any item not being voted on? Okay. We will then move on to public comment on items that are being voted on this evening. I have one person signed up, Jeffrey Parks.
My name is Jeffrey Parks, 223 East Church Street, Bethlehem. I'll be very brief. I'm here with regard to item 10H, 143 West Broad Street, Certificate of Appropriateness. I understand that there were some public comments made at the last meeting that caused some questions to be raised. I'm here tonight to answer any questions that members of council might have. And I've brought Jim Eck from Quadratus Construction, who will describe how this building would be built and preserve the hillside adjacent to it on the eastern side of the slope. If there are any questions of council, we're here to answer them when you get to that point of your schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parks. Is there anyone to the left of the room that would like to give public comment on any item to be voted on this evening? Anyone in the middle of the room? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. About the Skyline West, this is my feeling that if there's, we should not jeopardize in any way this application for our World Historical Site. Postponing Skyline West for a considerable period of time, I think is less of a problem than losing a World Heritage Site application simply because of the existence of that project. And the downside of postponing is that we would have to forego the additional 50 apartments there to the extent that that is desirable. But in view of the 1,750 apartments proposed for Martin Tower, it's not all that significant. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the middle of the room would like to give public comment? Mr. Talix?
Stephen N. Talix, 737 Ridge. You and council have received letters from Mr. Grubb and also Ms. Fritz, very concerned and well-informed citizens. And I first heard about this World Heritage designation at the last meeting, and I researched it, and that is quite a designation. Quite a designation. And to achieve that is a major pearl. And for Bethlehem to even be considered, it doesn't get any better. So, what is of greater interest or importance at the moment to the citizens of Bethlehem? Additional apartments in West Broad, which might be needed, or being recognized at World Heritage internationally. If achieved, what would that do to tourism in
Bethlehem. Main Street would be full of shoppers, hotels would be filled, and everyone in the city would reap a reward because it could reduce taxes. So I'm not against development, but I'm for what, in my mind, what is best for Bethlehem. And if you look at this carefully and reduce it to simple logic, it almost becomes a no-brainer. Could the project die if it's held for a later time? I doubt not, because it's waited for some time to be before you. So time is not an issue here. But time is an issue for the World Heritage, because we don't know categorically whether, if the project is approved, might it destroy the chances of becoming a World Heritage designation. We don't know that. We want authorities to reflect on that, not a builder. Because a builder will have vested interest in the project. So be very careful. Be very careful. Because you have much to do to make Bethlehem a more famous place in the, not in the country or the state, but in the world. So you have Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and you have then could have Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Wow. Isn't that something?
Is there anyone else in the center of the room that would like to give comment on any item to be voted on this evening? Anyone to the right of the room that would like to give public comment on any item to be voted on? Is there anyone else in this room that would like to give comment on any item to be voted on? Yes, sir. If you could please give your name and address.
Hi, my name is Al Worth. I live at 525 6th Avenue on the west side, and I'm here to talk about the West Broad Street, 14053 West Broad Street. Sorry, I forgot the address. I do think this is a remarkable opportunity for the city, and I'm feel like it's something the council should pay attention to. Testimony criticizing the process of the HARB and the potential impact on the World Heritage Site has been presented to council last week. We've made many mistakes on behalf of developers, and if the recent pattern continues, we'll soon be left to using air quotes whenever we use the word historic in conjunction with Bethlehem. The current threat is to the heart of Bethlehem's historic character, the 18th century industrial quarter. Perhaps not a sacred place, but surely an essential space. The city appears to be trading a world-class UNESCO World Heritage type destination that most cities in the U.S. could only dream of. For a developer's new generic apartment building towering over the 18th century industrial quarter. This isn't just a liberal interpretation of historic guidelines and constraints to serve a particular developer, though we've seen what appears to be much of that in the city. It may be all that, but it's also killing the goose that lays the golden egg. We proceed without further consideration of whether this development is appropriate. The UNESCO designation would tell the whole world about Bethlehem's unique heritage. So even if all you care about is the money development will generate, The distinction and global recognition effectively declares that the city is an important place to visit and spend your tourist dollars. At minimum, the heritage impact assessment should be allowed to proceed, so that as this one of the speakers last week argued, that we are certain that we aren't cutting off our nose despite our face, or leaving an incredible opportunity aside and proceeding with a generic building. Council should do what's best for the city and preserve the legacy of the city's forebears and our predecessors who built such a good and unique place to live. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Is there anyone else left up for public comment?
Yeah, Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. I commented last week, I'm not going to duplicate that, but I urge you to tonight to err, if you will, in the favor of the abundance of caution, as opposed to attempting to proceed to just endorse a HARB recommendation. I think, as you all know, HARB recommendation is actually very subjective when you look at the qualifications to as to whether this met the requirements of the Department of Interior, the Secretary of Interior, for historic. There's some real subjective things on there, such as size and scope and mass of the buildings as it might relate to other buildings in the area, etc. And it's a judgment call. And just as, and it varies, quite frankly, from the complement of the HARB, which is essentially a political appointed body. The prior HARB, as you know, in the 2018, prior HARB recommended that the house not be torn down for the purpose of building an apartment complex. The city council overrode that recommendation. So it's not unusual, obviously, for city council to override a recommendation of the HARB, and that one in particular was. Since then, the chairman of the HARB has been replaced, and so you have a complement of a new HARB making a recommendation, and similarly, you have that right as the will of council to override that. And in this particular case, you're overriding on the sake of caution. So if anything, you're not allowing this project to proceed at this point is actually a testament to the World Heritage Body that you care about preserving cultural integrity in your city. And I think the other reason that you should either delay or reject the project at this point is that HARB made their recommendation to you without the knowledge that ICOMOS, which is the inspection body for the World Heritage Commission, recommends a heritage impact assessment for any property that is built in the district or the proposed district and in the buffer zone of those districts. It's not a mandate, but the same body that's going to come here and inspect us in a year from now, assuming we get nominated, is recommending that a heritage impact assessment be done on any project, just to be sure that we haven't made the fatal decision when they come that could disqualify us. So a second opinion, if you will, I think is a very appropriate request of City Council. Either a second opinion for you or to send it back to the HARB with a recommendation of an independent heritage impact assessment to be a part of their decision to come recommendation to come back to you. I'm not sure legally what the right way to go is, but my point is that when you have the body that's going to come and inspect and determine whether we are qualified to be on the World Heritage List, recommending that any project in the buffer zone or in the district go through a heritage impact assessment, I don't understand why we wouldn't want to do that. And I would hope that Mr. Parks would agree that that's a reasonable, responsible thing to do, just like I would agree to do it for our project for the hotel. So I implore you to, I'm not here to stand and be against the project, as I said. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to make sure any project does not disqualify us from being a World Heritage Site. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to make public comment on any item being voted on this evening? Old business, is there any old business from any members of council? Communication 6A.
Memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached resolution and agreement for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer in the Bethlehem Police Department. Pursuant to the third class city code, retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest and the event is Oktoberfest 2022. The agreement is for September 30th, 2022 from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. as well as October 1st from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. October 2nd from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. October 7th from 4 p.m. until 11 p.m. October 8th from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. and October 9th from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. The area covered is First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Arts Quest and the activity is the Mercy Vegan Pop-Up Event. The agreement is for October 23rd, 2022 from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. and covers First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Eric Evans, Business Administrator, dated September 29, 2022, regarding the 2023 budget for the Pension Minimum Municipal Obligations. Act 205, the Pension Reform Law, requires the Chief Administrative Officer to submit for 2023 purposes the financial requirements of the plans and the minimum municipal contribution to the plans of the governing body of the city by September 30th, 2022. Based on the most recent actuarial valuations and payroll data, minimum municipal contributions that will be needed to be budgeted for 2023 are as follows. Police, $6,058,001. Fire, $2,784,686. And PMRS, $2,006,405.
This is for informational purposes only. Communication 6E.
A memorandum with an attached resolution from Eric Evans, Business Administrator, dated September 29, 2022, advising that a direct deposit for pension state aid in the amount of $4,211,707.36 was received on September 28, 2022, and has been allocated to pension board payments and police, fire, and PMRS minimum municipal obligations.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Reports. Council held a committee of the whole meeting tonight, Tuesday, October 4th, 2022, at 5 p.m. to discuss the conflict of interest ordinance. Council voted to send the ordinance to full council at a future council meeting. Yeah. Council appointment, I hereby appoint Rachel Leone, 946 East 5th Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This appointment is effective until January 2025. Discussion?
I think I should recuse myself. That's me.
I think that's a good idea.
But hey, I'd like me, so.
The clerk will call the roll.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix. Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone. Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Ramsey Smith.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Congratulations. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I just have one administrative order. Hereby appoint J. Mark Riddle, 1326 West North Street, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. This appointment is effective through January 2027.
Thank you. Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix. Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinances for final passage, 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 General Fund Budget. Bill 2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Ordinance 8B.
That is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Okay. Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 General Fund Budget. Bill 23-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2022 General Fund Budget. Bill 24-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. There are no new ordinances. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of the City-issued handgun assigned to Sergeant Stephen Marks, retired City Police Officer. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. It passes 5-1. Resolution 10B.
You resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Comptroller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for Oktoberfest 2022. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. It passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and/or such other city officials are deemed appropriate by the solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the Mercy Vegan Pop-Up event. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and/or such other city officials are deemed appropriate by the solicitor are hereby authorized to allocate $4,211,707.36 in 2022 General Municipal Pension System State Aid to the line item specified in the resolution. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 328-330 West 4th Street to replace roofing, any damaged soffit, fascia, or trim, and also to paint the building. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and a Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 25 West 3rd Street to construct a new five-story cultural center at the site of the current Banana Factory Arts Center. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Leone and Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion. Yes, Councilman Leon.
I just wanted to put my support behind the ACC saying the awnings on the first floor, so if Banana Factory is in the building, just want to earmark that. The awnings on the first floor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. And I have to say, President Cologne is on YouTube if you want to have him part of the roll call for the vote.
Okay.
Can you hear us, President Cologne?
Was my name called? I apologize.
No, we did not call your name, but are you prepared to vote for this?
I would be asked to be included in the next agenda item.
Okay.
I'll wait till we get to the next agenda item for discussion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Resolution 10F passes 6-0. Resolution 10G.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 128 East 3rd Street to construct a new six-story mixed-use building with commercial space on the first floor and residential tenant space above. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Dr. Enix.
Discussion? Clerk?
Sorry.
Yes? I'm sorry.
I'm first. Okay. I just wanted to prevent a setback on this. I know that height and density tends to be an issue in the historic district, so that sixth floor being set back as much as it is really makes the project look big.
President Cologne?
I just want to say thank you for allowing me a second to catch up to where we were in the agenda, and I appreciate everyone understanding my tardiness.
We appreciate that you're here. We're grateful that you were able to make it tonight. Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolutions are hereby granted for 143 West Broad Street to construct a new multifamily residential building with parking deck and amenities. Project previously received approval for the demolition of the existing structure at the June 19, 2018 City Council meeting. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Swimmer Leon?
I have just had a couple of questions for the administration about if a project isn't built according to the way it's supposed to be built, what is within our right to kind of make sure it stays?
There's a quite a lengthy process as it moves through the Planning Commission stage and the review by the City Planning Department. The Planning Department then generates a developer's agreement, which is usually a multi-page, 10 or 15-page document, which seeks to capture everything that the developer is committed to do throughout the process. The conditions for the approvals, the various requirements and ordinances, the various requirements and other city regulations, and then the specific requirements of this particular project. Sometimes there'll be sketches that will be submitted during the process. I attended the Historic Commission's meeting on this particular project and recall sketches with the view shed and what the side of the project would look like with the existing environment that it was to be placed in. And so as part of the process, I'm sure the department would include those kind of things in the developer's agreement to obligate the developers to do that. The one I had a look here by reference of several years ago was a side elevation drawing on January 24th of an area of Madison Avenue on a particular project. The developer's agreement requires that it's got to look like that. And then to back up that agreement, we'll take financial security, a letter of credit, which will be held by the city to be drawn against lived up to. And then eventually, after all the inspections are done, after the project is built out and complete, all the improvements are dedicated, things of that nature, there's a sign off of all the various city inspectors as well as the department head and DPW and DCED. And after those sign offs, then we release the letter.
Okay, so it's like a financial, it's like a fine. Like being very hyperbolic here, we approve.
Yeah, it's the same thing as giving us cash.
So it's a
fine. Same thing as giving us cash, and then if we've got to do something or if they violate something, the city has to go in and change. We already have the cash, we just can't get it. So it's financial security to see that they live up to their agreements. And it's quite a lengthy process. It's drafted initially in that office, and then it's reviewed by my office.
Thank you.
Any other council members have any discussion?
So I guess I wanted to talk about this project. There's two discrete pieces. There's the building itself, and then there's the impact of the building on the World Heritage Site. And I think there we've received a lot of letters on council for people who feel strongly about the building, for people who feel strongly about the impact on the World Heritage Site. And sometimes I think those are a little mixed up too, so I wanted to be very clear about how I felt about this project. I voted in 2018 against HARB. It's the first and only time I have voted against HARB to approve the demolition of the building that was there. And I did it with a clear conscience because I knew that HARB did its job. HARB's job was to look at that building as a historic building and say, should this be demolished? That is the job of HARB. And they did their job. They said, nope, this is a historic building. And then it came to City Council, and it's not unlike the same litmus test I applied for the ArtsQuest building and voting against the HCC there, in that it's City Council's job to kind of look at the greater aspect of the building. And I felt at that time that this was an ambitious project. I wasn't really happy with the aesthetics of the project, but in general, I felt it was a good use of a piece of land that was unlikely to be utilized or improved upon or lived on again. So I did vote against it. And it made me think a lot about what is the use of council in this process, because we're being asked to approve this building and rely on HARP and their expertise in order to do it. So I actually met with the people who've been spearheading the process for UNESCO World Heritage, as have many members of council. They were very generous with their time and gave freely of their opinions and allowed me to ask questions. And I was convinced by their expertise, their dedication to the project, and their comfort with the HARP process that the impact of this building was not going to harm our UNESCO World Heritage Site designation or application. But I do think that there are some role for council in this process. And so I've discussed this with Ms. Collins, and perhaps she can elaborate, because I do think that a lot of this is outside of necessarily what we can do tonight, but it doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. And I hope that the administration and Mr. Parks can consider some of this. One certainly is making sure that the building as presented will be built. This is a particularly challenging site, and again, my hat's off to you for taking it on, because it's a really rocky, small site. So to ensure that the HVAC and all the utilities are going to be under the parking garage and not on top, and doing the things that are important to do. You know, we all remember when Mr. Benner's building on the south side was built, and there's a number of different errors that were made there, but in the end, he got to build it out, and then it came to City Council, and we allowed him to. I don't think this council, should such mistakes occur again, would be as generous in mistakes that may be made for this building, because it is in such a delicate site. The other thing that I would encourage, and I don't know where the letter, the developer agreement letter is in terms of this whole process, but if it could be modified, and perhaps it already, Ms. Collins, you can speak to this. Is there a tree inventory for, because a lot of HARB's agreement that this was not going to impact the site was based on the fact that there was a really vigorous tree screen that was going to be shielding a lot of the impact of the building on the industrial corridor. And so preservation of that tree screen is really important in terms of, like, do we have a tree inventory, or is that going to be part of the process?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer the questions, and Mike Alcohol might also be a good person, as the city forester falls under Public Works. But as far as where the project is in the process, you know, now that it has gone to HARC, received the certificate of appropriateness, which I'll just pause there and say, you know, to ensure that the items addressed by the HARB and laid out in the certificate of appropriateness are adhered to. When the developers come in for their permits, they're going to look at the permits and what being presented as compared to what's in the COA. And confident in that process on this project, and we've in recent past, you know, put in our internal enterprise system, for example, like flags that'll say, like, hey, this parcel is in Harbor in HCC, so that'll flag when the permit comes in that there's, you know, those considerations. And that, to my knowledge, has not always been in place. But so that's a way that we feel comfortable that when the permit comes in, we're going to look back. But so now that it's gone through HARB, I believe the project next will be going to the Zoning Hearing Board, and then we'll enter into the site plan review process, the full plan review process, which is what we talked about back in June when we had our Community Development Committee meeting. And that's where the plans will go to the various departments and bureaus, and then when they hit Mike Alcohol's bureau, the city forester will take a look. And finally getting to answer your question, yes, there will be a tree inventory as part of that process. So do you want to talk a little?
Yeah, and already there's been a landscaping plan requested to be submitted to the city. And of course, the city forester will look at issues like trees slated to be removed and requirements to fulfill the obligation to replace them, and any buffer zone that is proposed and where it would be located and how it might function in order to meet any sightlines that are of concern.
And so but I know that these steep slopes are not necessarily always considered developable land. If those screening trees are lost in the process, are they mandated to replace them on that slope?
there certainly will be efforts made, and if it's feasible, absolutely.
Okay. The third suggestion, which I felt was kind of the one of the strongest ones, but requires some lifting, is that we've lost a number of large trees along the banks of the Monocacy, and those trees themselves provide great screening from the impact of the building, not necessarily the ones on the slope, but the ones that are down by the creek bed. And depending on who owns that land, of course, could we have discussions with the developer to plant trees down at the Monocacy to guarantee less impact of the building on the experience of the person who's in the industrial corridor?
I mean, obviously, such discussions would have to be with multiple parties, including the property owner that has been involved. So it's something we could obviously consider and try to pursue.
And that's why I'm glad you're in the audience tonight listening, and thank you for being here to hear what we're talking about. The last thing I just wanted to say really quickly, and this is a point I've made before, is that the integrity of this process right now is reliant on HARB. And the integrity of HARB is reliant on the professionalism and the expertise of the people we put on HARB. Therefore, I really want to make a point that, you know, this council is given the job of looking at what's best for the city, but HARB is given the job of looking at what's best for the historic district, and it's imperative that we continue to appoint the best, brightest people that we have, who can give us the expert opinions about the real impact of these buildings and then allow us as council to make greater decisions based on their expertise. And so I think this is a really good focal point for that process, because this is such a tender area. It's clearly a source of passion for so many people. So I hope that we can continue to really appoint the best and brightest to our authorities, boards, and commissions, no matter what their viewpoints are. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Any other council members like to make any comments?
I would echo Dr. Van Wert's interest in having a good plan for the tree situation. I did have a question. Does our tree ordinance, pardon me for not having read it yet, does it have minimum circumference requirements for replacement trees? Is that set forth in the ordinance?
Yeah, any tree, I believe, removed larger than 8 inch, I think, has to be replaced.
Okay. But it has to be replaced by a tree that's also of the same?
Obviously not initially.
Right, yeah, okay.
Time to mature and all that. And in certain situations, certain zones, it's a one-for-one. In other areas, there's some that require two trees for every one removed.
Okay, thank you. My thoughts on this are, have become kind of crystallized partially with the comfort, the reassurance of the fact that the folks leading the World Heritage Commission effort in Bethlehem have engaged a consultant, Mr. Barry Gamble, who is a world-renowned expert and has been through the process and has helped shepherd these kinds of projects, and that his advice was that this didn't require the HIA process, but rather that we should vest the decision making in our own HARB. And I think the HARB has done, I think, a pretty excellent job since its inception. We have a very intact central core of the city in terms of our Moravian heritage sites. So that gave me comfort on that. You know, HARB is an appropriate body. I echo Dr. Van Wert's sentiments. I think that they've kind of been given a little bit of, you know, there's been a bit of shade thrown at them, I think, in the last few weeks about the integrity of their decision making. It was a unanimous decision. There was a robust discussion. They did receive a full briefing from the Bethlehem World Heritage Commission members at that meeting, so it was very fresh in their minds. I just want to close by saying that, you know, if you've been to any city where there's a World Heritage site, you recognize a place like Philadelphia, on which the you know, on whose historic commission, by the way, the architect of this site, of this project, has sat. You know that these historic sites sit in living, thriving cities. You know, I always go back to the example of London because it's the one that sort of was the freshest in my mind, the last kind of place I went before the pandemic. But I mean, New York is another place. You could just look at New York. But if you look at London, you know, you can go and stand at the Tower of London. You can view the Tower of London from the top of a magnificent, huge skyscraper that is not that far away from it. And I'm not saying we should build a skyscraper on Broad Street. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that cities are they're environments that are constantly evolving. Cities are built on the remains of old of the city before it, and we don't stop feeling the impact of this historic heritage if we build a new building on the outer buffer. On the other side of the creek, you know, in that's created in a sensitive manner, in a sympathetic manner by an architect who is expert in these kinds of things. That's the very situation that I would hope for in terms of how we do go about developing around our historic core. So I will be voting in favor of the Certificate of Appropriateness tonight for these reasons.
Madam Chair, if I may, just briefly, just to answer some of these questions, Article 910.04 of the Bethel MCU Ordinances, subsection E requires replacement trees shall be planted within 6 months of the issue date. All replacement trees shall be planted, shall be single-stemmed and a minimum of 2 inches in caliper with a tree trunk free of branches to a minimum of 6 feet. All replacement trees and newly planted trees shall have a straight trunk and well-placed branches so that subsequent pruning shall achieve 8 feet of clearance over sidewalks and 14 feet of clearance. Subsection F then provides for an administrative fee of $300 if the replacement tree is not then planted in such an appropriate way as the forester requires, along with the planting of further other trees and such other costs such as auditor's fees. So just for a full landscape of what we're talking about. Thank you.
I just wanted to say something. I believe you all, and I respect your integrity, but I just cannot be a part of what I feel as an enormous gamble. When you're playing with something, and not that you're playing, like Independence Hall, you know what that means. It's just too much of a gamble for me. And I don't gamble.
Any other council members? First, I wanted to thank everybody who came to speak tonight. Agree or disagree, we appreciate what it takes for you to do that, so thank you. On a basic level, I want to make clear, if it's not already clear, nobody wants to jeopardize our UNESCO heritage status. And there are many people with vast amounts of experience who have been working for a very long time. And certainly they don't want to jeopardize our UNESCO heritage, our UNESCO status. The concern has not been This concern has not been brought up by those individuals. What I want to make clear is that it's not just a matter of us saying, well, we trust HARP, which would be our prerogative to do, but I want to make clear that establishing HARP as a protection mechanism, that was an active process that has been done with UNESCO. So I appreciate that my sense of your perspective, those of you who are seeking this this HIA, this Heritage Impact Assessment, is that you are seeking a protection mechanism and you see the ICOMOS, the HIA, as that, as the protection mechanism. And I want to assure you that that due diligence has been done. And so, and that's clear with UNESCO as well. And so it's, again, not just us saying we trust HARB, but it's that HARB has been established as this protective mechanism, and we trust that. So you're seeking that due diligence. Again, I just want to assure you that's what this is. This has been done. And furthermore, to the UNESCO process is a timeline, right? It's a process, and you move through that in incremental steps. And to me, not only is the assessment not necessary, but to pause the project, to do this assessment, to throw up that sort of red flag and push the pause button, to me, that's what has the potential to jeopardize the status. I just wanted to, you know, as Dr. Van Wert indicated, we have many conversations. This is our job. We are on council for that reason, to do that research. Certainly we don't expect all of you to do that same research or have those conversations or even have necessarily access to those conversations. So just want to make sure. And also, as Dr. Van Wert said, this is two different pieces. One is that you just may not care for the project. That's subjective. I'm not interested in changing your mind on that. But as far as the UNESCO being jeopardized, I wanted to make clear that the due diligence has been done. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council members have any comment? President Cologne?
Thank you. Excuse me. I'll just say, as it relates to the UNESCO designation and the COA in particular, that we will in the future, as we hit appropriate timelines, whether it be at a committee meeting or a council meeting where we've gotten updates, I think it's very important that council, the working groups and committees, the administration, that we come together at a certain time, as certain checkpoints are appropriate, just to get general updates of where we're at. I know as well, I've alluded to it, it is a process, it is a long timeline. Tonight is one data point on what's going to be a long timeline with a lot of data points. And I just would say in the future, we'll get when it's appropriate to do so again. We can all work to coordinate some kind of status update of where we're at in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just make some comments. First of all, I want to say I'm grateful and I thank you to the HARB for giving up their time and talents to this city. And I have the utmost respect for them. You know, at times I may not always agree, but I still have the utmost respect and I'm grateful for them giving up their time. I was really torn on this issue, but I was able to speak to some people within the last 2 weeks. And my concern is that I feel that we need to move forward in this city with progress, but we really need to balance that with preserving our heritage, because I think that's what makes Bethlehem unique. I think our character is really unique to us, and that is why we have people that love to live in the city and people that love to come and visit the city. And I am more and more concerned as time goes on that we are not really looking and being serious about development and the effects it has on the area around the development and most importantly, the macro effects it has on our city in general. I've had several people who have lived in the city and have moved out and have been world travelers and have said to me they come back and they're concerned with what they're seeing, that they're seeing a lot of progress, but they're seeing that they feel like we're losing our sense of character, and that's concerning to me. And I feel that as far as the heritage impact assessment, while it may not be necessary or mandatory, being designated as a World Heritage Site is huge. I mean, it's extremely significant, and I really don't feel that, I feel that I've been told that this assessment could take maybe approximately 2 months, 3 months. That's not that long in the process when we're looking at the development of a project, and I guess I'm feeling that we need to do whatever we can. There's no guarantees as far as our application to the World Heritage Site, and we need to do whatever we can to give up and to promote the best application we have. And that being the case, I really think that it would be good to have a heritage impact assessment, because I think in general, we need to really sit back and we need to make assessments on any kind of development in the city to make sure that it's going to not adversely affect our character and our heritage, but conversely, it's going to promote and enhance our heritage. So therefore, I feel like completing a heritage impact assessment would be a good thing, and I would wish that the developer would want to voluntarily do that so that, you know, we can do everything we can to make sure that we're enhancing our heritage and not doing anything to adversely affect our historical preservation. So at this point, I'm going to be voting no on the COA. So if there's no more discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Dr. Enix.
Nay.
Ms. Squiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Nay.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Nay. It passes 4-3. Does anyone on council have any new business? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Grace, for hearing all these meetings.
No problem. Thank you for attending. I'm glad you could make it.